Yeah, so somebody told me, it was like, man, y'all podcast, man, I be listening, but y'all should do it every week. I'm like, man, you should do it every week. Everybody want to tell you, you know, what you should be doing. You do something every week.
I can take that, though. I can take that because that's somebody who is enjoying, entertaining, infotained, thinkertained, whatever.
That's cool, but they don't know what goes into it.
Right.
You know
what
I'm saying?
Right.
Like a good one.
Right.
They don't know what goes into a good one. You do it every week.
Yeah. Well, you know, everybody's doing it every week. I mean, not everybody, but so many people are doing podcasts compared to when we started.
When we started. Now, you know, it's funny that you said that because we just heard, I saw Cypher Sounds, New York DJ, now comedian, on the Breakfast Club, was it?
Yeah, Breakfast Club.
And at the end, he was like, you know, they were celebrating and shouting him out. You know, he's saying he's the first hip-hop podcast.
Yeah.
And when you heard it, you immediately hit me. It was like, did he just say that?
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah. I mean, they were. What is it? What was it called? Him and Peter Rosenberg.
I forget what it was called.
Juan Epstein.
Yeah.
And, you know, for people that have been following streaming broadcasts and podcasts, they were early with it as far as YouTube is concerned and interviewing people that came to the radio station in another room and then putting those full interviews online. And then you had to remind me. You were like, they weren't first.
Nah.
We was first.
Yeah.
And it took me a minute to put it together. But we were doing a hip hop podcast. I want to say before it was even called podcasting.
Yeah. Yeah. How about that?
And I forgot about that.
But you know what? I'm glad you remember.
Give me a year.
I'm glad you remember, but I guess I don't celebrate it. Because you know, when you start it, you usually aren't the ones who come
up
from it.
Yeah, you don't get no credit for it.
You know, I was watching the NBA channel the other night, and they were talking about, like, before Bill Russell's time.
Yeah.
And how those, like, it was a team out of Harlem called the Rents or something like that. Yeah, they were called, like, R-E-N. I think they were named after somebody.
Oh, the Renaissance. The Rents.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you said the Rents. I'm about to, man, okay.
No, the Rents. So they was, like, they was crazy.
They was better than the Celtics.
Right. And then they
but nobody was there to see him.
And how about the Harlem Globetrotters is from Chicago?
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
How does that work?
Yeah.
The organization or like the players?
The team, the players came from Chicago. The reason why they called the Harlem Globetrotters because Harlem was known for it being a black municipality.
More so than...
Because it's not Harlem. It's really not a city. You know that.
Right.
So... So that's what they called it that. But I'm like, well, you could have called it South Side or something. Like Chicago, South Side or West Side was black at the time.
At the time, oh, okay.
You know.
Nah, but probably because of the Harlem Renaissance. I mean.
There you go.
That, you know, all eyes was on Harlem at the time, you know, culturally.
But so, that was a trick for me. That was a trick back for me. I'm from Chicago. So I'm like, yo, the Harlem Globetrotters.
You had never heard that, yeah.
Yeah, so that was new to me. But what it schooled me on was how the most pioneers don't have a come up, aren't they might get an accolade or two, but they usually don't see the bread.
And they never see the bread. But they pioneers never see the bread.
Well, okay, so
but they get the credit so much I don't even know how to say it. So much later.
it's like, does it even count?
Does it even count?
Because your boy from MySpace. Is that me? Because I keep
you keep
table.
Banging the table.
Acting like I never did a podcast before. So the boy from MySpace, what's his name?
Your first podcast.
This is my first podcast. Yeah. Maybe I'm about to be rich now.
Right.
What's the boy from MySpace?
Tom?
Tom was before Facebook and before all the other big
was
ones.
Was Tom a real dude, though? I always thought it was a fake. You know, he hit you with this joint, but I didn't think that was a real person.
Like, I think Tom was real, but it's funny because he never embraced the celebrity. So that might not be his real picture. But I remember people talking about it when he was popping, when MySpace was popping. They was like, nah, that guy's real. Like, I seen him on something. that's neither here nor there. But
yeah, pioneer.
I don't think he's seeing the Zuckerbergs and the Instagrams and Snapchat money, Twitter money.
Mm-mm.
You know, it's a whole different time, and that is the new tech, and praise for it.
Mm-hmm.
And get all the accolades and all the money. So Tom is in his feelings right now.
Yeah, he should be. You know who? You know, a lot of times you don't get to. And this is kind of capitalist society. You don't really get to make money unless you got money. Mm. And I was watching something recently with the Winklevoss twins. You remember them?
Yeah, that's the ones who got Mark to do Facebook.
Right.
Yeah.
And then in the court case, he cut them a solid. You know, the courts made him pay them. And I forget, it was some insane amount, $10 million or something ridiculous. I could be wrong because it was in that movie, Social Network.
Right.
So the Winklevoss twins recently invested, I think in Bitcoin.
They did.
And
early.
And like mega dupled their money.
Early.
They was already sitting on a trash heap of money.
Their family had money.
Yeah, but I mean, they put like $1 million something in Bitcoin. Yeah, and then, even with the crash, because you know it crashed. It went up to like 19, went back down to 10,000.
That's not even crashing.
That's crashing.
Nah.
It's crash. If you put a little bit of money in it, that's crashing. It crashed your money out of it.
Yeah,
but if you got the millions from the beginning, yeah,
that's what you know. What I wanted to do today, I wanted to get a finance guy or a finance girl on the line.
A guru, if you will.
A guru.
Yeah.
Aficionado.
Talk about cryptocurrency.
Cryptocurrency and stocks.
Yeah.
So that's next show. We'll do
that. Yeah, we'll do that.
In the future.
This is the next first show that we do.
The next first show. That's when we're going to
Did you see Black Panther at all?
What?
So you saw it?
Once. I went to see it, what was it, Thursday?
Uh-huh. The first night.
Yeah. And went too late. And I was already like...
Yeah. Oh, you went sauced.
No, I just went tired.
You can't go to Black Panther sauce.
No, I didn't go sauce. I'm telling you.
It's not paid in full.
No, I was not sauced at all. I was kind of like, you know, I think I might have had a beer or a drink or something like
that. But you went tired, so you fell asleep? Is that what you about to say?
I totally fell asleep.
How you fall asleep in Wakanda?
But see, like with movies and plays and stuff, like unless I see it at a time where I'm not tired even a little bit, I'm going to go to sleep.
What show did you go to? After 10?
Yeah.
And you went by yourself?
No.
You took the family after 10?
No. I went with wifey, one of my homegirls, and one homegirl.
Oh, you had no intention of paying attention to the... You went with three... You had no intention of paying attention to the movie.
No, I had all intentions of paying attention because I was hyped. I was gassed for it. But then I turned around and... I saw it on Sunday.
Oh, you went a second time?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Right.
I got to.
All right.
I got to. Let's get into it.
I'm about to
Let's get into it. I mean, I think I heard you say this. I don't know. I heard you on one of our People's Podcast.
Okay. Yeah, Easy Streets Podcast.
That was Street that you were talking about. You were talking about Union Temple. Black Panther.
Uh-huh.
So you said something that hit all the way home for me was... If you didn't say might, you might. You said it was the best movie you ever seen.
Oh no, I definitely said it was the best movie I have ever seen.
Okay, and then at first I was like, hold up, Slim. I know you rooting.
Was this after your first or second time seeing it?
This is after my second time, but I had to take in consideration of all the movies I thought was my top five or whatever, right? So then I start comparing because I really like Black Panther, I think it did it for me. Like I was like, all right, everything that I needed from them, they gave me in the movie.
Right.
So I had to really debate you without talking to you.
Okay.
So I was, because I already know what you're going to say to certain stuff. So I'm debating you in my mind.
Right.
And I'm like, yeah, you know what? You're right. So you won.
I won this one?
You won this one without even being there.
That's major.
Black Panther, one of the best movies I've ever seen, if not the best.
It's for me. Okay, the reason why, let me state my case. It's the best. So in my top five is like, now I got a top five that has 10 movies in it.
What
you mean? That's the way it is. It's no way to, that's like Biggie and Tupac. You can't even compare them. Who's number one? They're both number one.
Nope, they're not.
To people,
yeah.
Right. But my top five might have 10 in it.
Okay.
And it's no particular order.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Let's go.
Because some movies are different. But it's movies like Malcolm X.
Mm-hmm. Malcolm X is great.
You know, Five Heartbeats is in there.
Five Heartbeats is good.
Serafina to me. Serafina.
I don't think I see Serafina.
Serafina, The Matrix.
Matrix was
Departed is in there for me.
Which one's Departed?
That's the Jack Nicholson, the whole Boston crime thing.
Yeah, yeah, I like that.
That's in there
that
for
was
me.
A long movie.
Usual Suspects is in there
Usual
for me.
Usual Suspects was official.
Yeah, so it's those type of for me.
Mm-hmm.
This one, all right. So Marvel Universe, Marvel Cinematic Universe. I didn't grow up reading comic books.
Right.
You had the toys. You watched Saturday morning cartoons, but I wasn't no comic nerd.
Right.
So I didn't.
Wait, if you read comics, you was a nerd.
That's what they're called.
Comic nerds?
Comic nerds.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that's what I call them.
That's what you call them?
I think that's what they call them. So I didn't really get into it until maybe the last 5 or 6 years when I started following the Avengers and how that thing works and how it plays out. And then the movies are good. So Avengers, Thor, Hulk, you know, it's like, that's fascinating.
Yeah.
The Avengers really, to me, stepped their game up. You know, with the punchlines, the quirky dialogue, they'll say some slick, sarcastic. You know, it's funny. The special effects is cutting edge. The plot lines be deep and emotional. You know, that's Marvel. That's what they've come to be known as. This had all of that and 27 main black characters.
Right.
So
and a rich history.
It with a real unmade up history, like with respect to Marvel.
Right.
Had a real context where these black people was important, where the Marvel story doesn't exist without them.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody used their stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Captain America, you know, Mr. Hero, he don't have a shield without Wakanda.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like everybody in the other storylines and movies, they're all connected to Wakanda. So then this movie drops.
Oh, I didn't know that was what his shield is made of.
His shield made of vibranium. That's why if you
I remember hearing the word.
Yeah.
Didn't put it together when I saw the movie.
Exactly. A lot of people didn't because they ain't know that that's what that was or where it was from or not. If you peep a little tidbit.
See, I was faking the comic books. Like, I would collect them because I was on some business shit, not because.
Right.
Like, I couldn't even tell you what my favorite comic was.
So I'm going to give you a little Easter egg, what they call an Easter egg, and I just learned what that is. But a little breadcrumb in Civil War when Black Panther starts fighting Captain America for the first time, he scratches the shield.
Yeah, I remember that.
And that's the only time the shield has ever been damaged. And now every time you see the shield, it has those scratches on it.
Oh, because he scratched it with those claws.
Yeah, with his vibranium claws, right? So back to the movie, why is the best? So it had special effects, it had the plot line, it had the punchlines, it had the sarcasm, it had the little funny jokes, deep storyline, very emotional. And then it was all black.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best movie ever.
Mm-hmm. Well, it wasn't all black.
I mean, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like all the leads, you know, the best movie ever. I mean, it looked like a Marvel movie. And at the same time, you know, it was a, I don't want to say a black movie. Because when I think of a black movie, I'm thinking something that come on BET or Lifetime or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But a star-studded black cast.
Right.
It wasn't a Tyler Perry movie. You know what I mean?
No, it wasn't.
You see what I'm saying?
All.
So that's why I said it was the best movie ever. I'm all the
but
way in.
But you know
in.
What's interesting, right? It was in a sense it had a theme, an African theme
yes.
Right? So Tyler is a descendant of Africa, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it was an African theme. It was fantasy in some sense because there is no real Wakanda,
right.
But there might be something like it that we just don't know about.
That we don't. Ooh, that's a good point.
We could talk about
a new word for fantasy.
We could talk about Samaria. We could talk about places that really existed that we have, but it didn't get credit for existing until recently.
Right. Well, like he even mentioned it in the movie, he said El Dorado.
Mm-hmm.
He compared it to El Dorado.
Yeah.
And all the history we know of El Dorado was in Central America.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was just an amazing...
I mean, from top to bottom, without just, trying to give the movie away.
Yeah, I don't care. You should have seen it by now.
You should have
seen
it
by now.
You should have seen it by now.
I don't
now.
Really care about none of that. But what I, the most prideful thing for me was the fact that every male character, every black male character, there was no suckers in the movie.
None.
There's no lame... Even the people who did wrong, the villain, he wasn't no sucker.
What was his name? Kilimanjaro? Or?
Killmonger. Eric Stevens.
I made him Native American.
Yeah, nah, that's Kilimanjaro. That's in Africa. But yeah, man.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, yeah, okay, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, even, he wasn't no sucker. It wasn't soft. It wasn't no lames. It wasn't no goofy. A lot of times in the movie, man, the black character is auxiliary and peripheral.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got this weird, quirky thing about him.
Right.
Like, you'll be in his ensemble cast, but he'll be a goofy, total goofy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he'll be like, I don't know nobody like that. You know
but you know what? This movie also shows, not that we didn't have black directors, not that we didn't have black producers, but it's another example of how we don't have to have, instead of calling a black movie, we don't have to have the typical movie that is done for us by us, right?
Yeah, right.
Or not even sometimes by us, just for us.
Yeah, yeah, for like a relationship joint or
A comedy.
Slavery or...
Yeah, a dramedy.
Overcoming the odds.
A hood flick, you know what I'm saying? Like, we've seen all of those.
Yeah.
And yes, some are better than others. But this was a big budget movie with a huge theme that was well detailed.
Yeah, very.
And very expressive.
Right.
And made people walk out of there, like, not just laughing, not just entertained, but thinking.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So you got a little Malcolm X. You got a little
whoever. Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? I was about to say Spike Lee, but Spike Lee did Malcolm X. But
yeah, right.
I mean, it's not a lot of people you got
different black viewpoints.
You got John Singleton. Yeah, who's a black director that did action movies?
Oh, you got Fuqua. You got
The Fuquas. You got all of that.
Yeah, yeah. It's a couple of them. It's a handful of them.
You got. I mean, they gave us every. Different
element of
what you could bring to the table
right.
for a person to call this movie top billing, classic.
Yeah,
it got to go down a classic.
Yeah.
But what I want people to do is I want people to encourage their friends that are not black to go see it.
Right.
There I go again. That are not black to go see it because right. it's something that needs to be seen, not just by people that are in the comic books and the whole Marvel universe and all of that, but just to see the other side.
Yeah.
Because we get to see the other side of them.
We always have to see.
As
people were talking about, this is one chick, my coworker, a friend of hers, white girl, was like, I don't know if I can go see it because I don't know, I feel out of place and will I be comfortable? And I was like, out of place?
Because she thought everybody was going to have an African garb on.
Paying attention to her. Anybody paying attention to you? Like, we go to all y'all movies. What does you mean? Like, and speaking of which, I just learned what cosplay is. Cosplay? I don't even know if I'm saying it right. But when you dress up,
mm-hmm.
like the people,
uh-huh.
like all at the theaters or whatever, people dressing up and showing out. And some of the movie theaters had the African drummers and all that. I'm in favor of all of that.
Right, right, right.
Like,
right.
People, I've been hearing black people, like,
I
really,
love that. To see
really
that on the
talking
news
down
and
on that. I'm like, are you kidding me? So y'all don't say nothing when Harry Potter, they come to
right.
to movies dressing like fairies and sorcerers and wizards. And
pulling out their magic wand.
Yeah, and Star Wars dropped, and everybody's a stormtrooper, and
right.
Darth Vader.
Right.
Fuck out of here. Like, I'm all the way for that. Like,
yeah, all the way.
All the way. I had my mud cloth on.
But
I was
you know
mad.
What? It was also a movie that provided us an opportunity to be prideful.
To be prideful.
To be prideful,
bottom line.
Bro.
Like, to be able to be like, ah.
Yeah.
Yeesh.
Like, yeah, like we like to go see Kevin Hart be silly and weird and quirky. We like to see that. We like to see when Queen Latifah and what was her name? Tiffany and
Girls Trip was that?
Girls Trip. We like to see that. We like to see Wesley Snipes. We like to see Denzel. We like to see all that, but it's very few of those that we walk in and walk out feeling proud.
Feeling prideful. Like, it feel like something. Like, my inner 8-year-old comes out and be like, yeah, Black Panther can beat Superman.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Because right.
we ain't had that before.
Right.
And he actually can whoop Superman.
I don't know if he can whoop him.
He definitely can whoop Superman.
How so?
What you mean?
How so?
How is Superman getting at him? With what? What is he getting out of with?
I'm thinking, see, I don't want to tell too much.
The I-beams?
I was thinking, that was the first thing I thought about.
But the I-beam can't do nothing to the suit.
I know, I answered my own question.
Yeah, what are you going to do with strength? Yeah. Panther got strong too.
Panther's strong, but not Superman strong. He's strong, but he's not Superman strong. And if Superman ripped that suit off of that boy.
He still got the heart-shaped herb juice. You know what I'm saying? The purple juice in his blood.
That's right.
Still got that purple.
That's right. But with his suit, without his suit, he still can fight and be able to take a punch.
Yeah.
But you're not taking a regular punch.
But they technology better than Superman. Superman ain't got no technology.
No, he don't have no
technology. What Superman got but a cape?
He got alien
you rip
abilities.
That cape, you rip that cape off, what he doing?
Nothing. Nah, man, that cape, nothing. There's nothing for
and
him.
And them boots and them rain boots.
That just make him feel good about and them himself. Them little tights
and them jeggings.
That little bikini. Yeah. It make him feel
Superman
real happy.
Flying around in skinnies and jeggings. Man, Panther whooped the snot out of Superman.
I'm a vote for Panther just cuz. Because I'm prideful.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to vote for Superman. I mean,
but it's good that we finally can have that moment. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I mean, it's nothing like it. I agree with you that not only was it one of the best movies, might be my favorite movie. Like, I'm trying to argue with myself. Like,
yeah,
trying
right.
to find something that I
better,
can say
right.
that I like better. But, like, from every angle, like you said, it was, I mean.
It had so many moments, and moments meaning, like, you'd be like, ah, that's funny.
I mean, like I said, not giving too much, but even the wife and husband yeah. element where they had to, like, question, you know.
Well, they weren't married, so who you talking about?
Nah, it was a married couple on there.
The wife and husband.
The general.
Oh, I didn't know they was married.
I think they was married.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah, I think they was married.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. I could be mistaken, but I think they were, because I was up the whole movie.
That was a hell of a dynamic. Everybody, the characters were so multi-dimensional, and there was so many layers. And it, you know, it was a couple moments to make you choke up, because you'd be like, "I've been saying that," like, you know, the whole African American versus the African,
mm-hmm.
like that. That's to me to see that theme played out in a movie on that level.
Mm-hmm.
Was I mean that's just major, man. Go see the movie. I don't care if you ain't. I'm gonna say spoiler alert right now. Halfway into this podcast, spoiler alert. We telling. Too late.
What? What you telling?
No, that's what you say before you give away juice.
Right, right.
Yeah, but
right.
I'm saying it after we done gave away juice.
Well, I don't spoiler think we alert. Get. I think we was kind of. I was being trying to be careful.
Hey, I wasn't. I don't give. I don't think
you said nothing that's going to yeah. throw nobody yeah. off.
If you listening to a Black Panther podcast at this stage in the game, you gonna get spoiled,
man. But you know what? Our people, I know this for a fact, that they can know a movie before they go in there and go in there.
Yeah, yeah,
with
yeah.
no problems.
Yeah.
And maybe even go see it twice.
They said in 4 days it made more than Justice League did, period.
Period. Yeah. To this date.
To this date. That's crazy. That's yeah. big. That's a big deal. So.
Well, you know, another thing, too, is I'm glad that, you know, they people want to call it, you know, this, you know, black movie, blah, blah, blah. I don't call it that.
No, I don't call it that.
Yeah. It's a superhero movie.
Superhero movie. It's amazing.
It's a Marvel movie. Yeah. It happened, or it came out around the time of the Valentine's Day massacre, you know, and it's so good that it wasn't one of those typical movies where we know the storyline, the typical storyline of the shoot 'em ups.
The Valentine's Day massacre, what is that?
The Valentine's Day massacre is the school shooting in Florida.
They're calling it that?
Unfortunately, they call it that.
But there's already a Valentine's Day massacre.
I know, but they wanted to associate that.
So dramatic.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. I don't even know where to go with this, because it's you know, it's all you've seen since it happened.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All day, all night. You finally got Trump to speak on it a couple of days ago. And when he did, the craziest thing to me was he was saying how, well, he's not the first to say this, but he said, you know, we need to have at least 20% of teachers that are caring.
That's what he said?
Hmm?
Oh, I missed that.
Yeah, he said that.
What?
20%, at least 20%. And I'm
how
like,
how do
okay,
you decide
so,
which,
who you choose?
Which, yeah,
okay,
who you choose?
Lamont, you look like a good guy. You look like you could handle yourself. You look like
all right,
you're composed enough to hold one down.
He's proving himself to be retarded, but let's
act like we don't know that.
Let's act like we don't know that. Let's, okay. let's go talk about the piece I read where the legislators
mm-hmm.
voted for the assault ban and shot it down.
Yeah, well,
shortly.
Ago.
No.
Oh, just recently?
Yeah.
They shot it
down.
And
still shot it down. In front, and some of the kids who had started the organization, I forget the name of it, but the organization to impact gun reform,
uh-huh.
were there in session,
uh-huh.
and they still voted it down.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, now, that's the loony. That's insane.
Well, this is
that's
this,
insane. Well, in your own state where it happened.
Well, this is why people need to learn more about politics, and they need to understand and become more a part of it, because typically the way politics have been done for, let's say, centuries.
Ever, yeah.
Ever, like, but at least in this country, because okay. we can't speak on everybody's country.
I mean, ever here.
So if you are sponsored or some way lobbied by a corporation,
that's where you vote.
You have
those.
Obligations.
Yes.
So no matter how good you are on that microphone, no matter how good you are kissing babies, you still got obligations to fulfill.
Your vote is bought and paid for.
And we know what happens when people don't fulfill them obligations.
Yeah.
Things happen. Not only do they lose their office, they might lose their life.
Yeah, they might.
So, you know.
And the gun lobby, NRA, and all of that is so powerful because they paying them, they dropping $300,000 on your campaign.
That's nothing.
You can't ignore that.
That's light.
You can't ignore that.
That's light.
So when it comes time to vote, you have to vote in that direction.
Mm-hmm. And they also want people who already are thinking like them, so they don't even have to persuade them with money.
True.
Money is just the whipped cream. It's like, well, you already think, you're one of our guys.
Right.
We're going to put you through. We're going to make sure this is taken care of, that's taken care of.
Right.
All we need you to is keep voting the way you vote already.
And I was trying to explain to someone, well, before I get to that, as a parent, how you deal with it, you know, from having to educate a school-age child to understand seeing the coverage.
It's tough because you got to take yourself out of the equation, right? And you have to explain it. So depending on, you know, your child's age, you got to put it in whatever level that they can understand it, because they're hearing it on the news from the friends, da 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 da. So with my son in particular, he was like, okay, I can't believe this happened, but, you know, something like this just happened a little while ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, we don't live, you know, too far from a mall where it got shot up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so he's familiar with the shoot up type of things.
Right.
And just being alive for the other schools that have been shot up. But then I'm like, bro, it can happen at any school.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It don't have to be, and he gets that too. So he was like, okay, but why is everything all about that? Like, you know, every time he turns on TV or any form of news, whether he's going digital, the TV, not like he's picking up no newspaper.
Right.
But, you know, no matter what form he's getting it in, he's getting the same thing. And it's like the same pictures, same videos. They reading off the same teleprompter. And so he was like, I don't understand. Like, is there something else going on? I said, no. What happens with news is the big story gets the most love.
Yeah.
And whatever people are checking for, and sometimes people are not even checking for it, they're force-fed down your throat.
And then he said something about how come we don't see this type of coverage when...
yeah, exactly. So he said, well, Dad, you know, kids is dying every day.
Yeah.
Kids are getting shot at school every day. Kids are getting shot in these neighborhoods every day. Why don't we give that the same or something similar...
That's heavy.
That attention to something, you know, because these things are going on. And then when you have all these stars come together, when the stars align.
Yeah.
And they all start piling their money
up. Yeah, because I saw a Twitter battle yesterday. No, it was today. It was a Twitter battle. You know, Oprah made an announcement that she's donating $500,000.
Was it 500?
I believe that's what I read to that cause. I forget the name of it.
What's the cause? Like, where does that money go to, though?
It's that group, that student-run group from Parkland.
So it's going to the families.
From that high school. I don't know if it's going to the family, but they're trying to raise awareness gun reform. That takes money.
Yeah.
So these are teenagers.
Right.
Who are really campaigning and trying to raise awareness for gun reform. So she announced on social media that she's giving them that guap. And people just came out the woodworks. They'll be like, oh, wow. Okay. Oh, you know, that's what's up.
Oh.
We ain't really see none of that. When the young people of color were marching in the streets for Black Lives Matter. And I saw that. I was like, oh, here we go. That's
But then that might disturb her base. if she gave money to Black Lives Matter, that might infuriate her.
I can't tell her where she should be giving her money.
Her base can.
Her base can
because they giving her money.
Yeah. But I looked at it like that's a hell of a point. Like, because it's almost, I don't want to say, somebody said it. I'm not saying it. Somebody said it's like grandstanding. Like you getting on this pedestal on this platform, be like, "Oh, y'all beautiful kids, you beautiful souls. I'm gonna give you $500,000." And there's a similar fight going on for justice and protection with the Black Lives Matter movement and the young people that took to the streets during those different protests over the last 2 years.
When they was getting called thugs.
Yeah, yeah. And from Baltimore to St. Louis to, I mean, was like, oh, they going at overhead.
Well, they should. I think they should be able to check people like that. You know what I mean? They definitely should, because they come to her aid. They come and stand behind and stand with her as much as possible. I think they need to be able to check her. Mm-hmm. When they feel that she's doing something wrong. Mm-hmm. And I don't think she's doing something wrong by giving money to that. But what I'm asking from not just her, but from the famous people all across the board, like when these big issues, crisis, this was a crisis, an emergency, a problem that we go through too often. But I believe that a lot of times, you know, people, like you said, grandstand, like, oh, well, I'm about to give this amount to Florida. I'm about to do this for Texas. I'm about to do this. Da, da, da. And that's great when everybody's doing it and you fall in line.
Right.
You can't be Kevin Hart and not give $50,000
after
you done made such millions.
Right.
You can't be a billionaire like Oprah and not throw your hand in, right?
Yeah.
But at the same time, and I'm not telling people where to be active, how to be activists, and that they should be activists. But when you have money, like you have people like us, we could talk the talk and we could put our couple of dollars together and do something.
But it ain't really going,
But we don't have the platform nor the money,
right?
Nor the power to do what they can do.
We not even the first podcast.
We not even the first podcast.
Hip hop podcast. And we was the first hip hop podcast. Yeah,
exactly. So we don't even get that love.
But can I address the elephant in the room? I'm gonna jump out there, and I want someone to respond, because it's really the elephant in the room. The reason the NRA and that side of things, the reason why they don't want to give up their assault rifles, because assault rifles shoot more bullets faster.
Yeah, but see.
Hold on. I'm going somewhere with this.
Go ahead.
The elephant in the room.
Mm-hmm.
Assault rifles shoot more. It ain't about hunting.
Mm-hmm.
It's about this internalized fear that oppressed populations are going to rise up and attack them.
Yeah.
They wake up every morning and go to sleep every night thinking about that.
Instead of thinking about the guy down the street that will come over there and hit him on the head.
White supremacy thinks it is under attack. And Dr. Francis Cress Wellesley, rest in peace, hit it right on the head. It's fear of a black planet. They fear the end of their ethnic.
It's
group.
Not even fear of a black planet. At this point now, it's fear of a color.
Like, well, I mean, that's just a metaphor.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, the reason why they cannot give up their guns, they just got to protect my home. And who are you protecting from?
Uh-huh.
I like to hunt. Who are you hunting?
Yeah.
When's the last time you been? No, they hunt.
No, not all of them.
They be hunting.
No, they do. But I mean, it's a lot of black people to hunt too. But I mean, like,
yeah, true.
It's a lot of dudes.
A lot of black people in the NRA too.
I know. Yeah. And it's dudes that got 5-6 guns and never been hunting.
True.
Never been.
But the reason why I have this AR and these semi-automatics and these Uzis is I feel in the back of my racist mind, and a lot of them don't even think that they're racist. They think black people are so vile, hostile, patriotic.
Yeah.
They feel like black people are so vile and hostile that at any given time, they're going to a mob of black people is going to come and attack their home. I have talked to people. In so many words, they really believe that.
I believe you.
They really believe that. And so they can't and they won't. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like Charlton Heston, My Cold Dead Hands. Like, they really, they live for that. Mm-hmm. Because pow, pow, pow is not enough. Because it's going to be 10 of y'all coming. Mm-hmm. I feel like black people are going to come attack me. Mm-hmm. They think all of us are hostile, prone to violence. And they think that and they think that if they apologize for slavery, that's why they won't do that either. If they apologize for slavery, black people will be like, we should take over. That's why they're afraid of Barack. They're like, Barack's gonna, he's gonna put all the black people in charge. He's gonna
enable.
Yeah, he's gonna enable. but some of them really, really think that. And I'm like, are you kidding me? And meanwhile, the mass shooters are the same prototype individual.
And a lot of my med heads.
What is that?
They on the prescripts.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, that's America though.
That is America. But when you do that, when you go and do that, and then they see all the stuff that's in your system, and then they wonder, well, he must just be mentally unstable.
Yeah, no, I don't buy that.
I would be mentally unstable if I was taking all the meds too.
I'm mentally ill just by living in America.
And
I hate
not even taking no.
Yeah, I ain't
pills.
Taking nothing, man. He's a criminal. He's a flat out criminal.
I like when you said that too. Like
he's a criminal.
We got to call.
We
it
start
what
labeling
it is.
Things what
because
they
if
are.
He was black or if he was brown or yellow he's or a green, criminal. He would be a terrorist,
a savage, a beast,
a monster, a monster. Terrorist. And this guy is, at first they didn't know how to describe him because his last name is Diaz.
Right, Cruz.
So they was like, Cruz, yeah,
yeah
Cruz.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm thinking about the UFC guy. Yeah. So I was like, okay, they didn't know
if it was
how
the Latin,
to,
was
what
the,
adjectives to throw at him yet.
Was he immigrant?
Yeah. Was he born here? Does he have a green card?
They go through all that and then all of a sudden,
his adoptive
parents died and he's from a broken home. I was like, broken home?
He's white.
Who live in a fixed home?
If he's white, he must be mental. Well, who was all the other people?
And then we got to move on because I get so irate. Man, when they said, like 2 days later or the next day, that a white supremacist group came out and said, yes, we know him. He trained with us, but he acted alone.
Yeah.
When have you ever, has there ever been any Muslim or person from one of those shithole countries, mm-hmm. who did something?
So Trump says.
Yeah, so Trump said.
Just in case people didn't know that.
Right, who didn't hear the beginning of the sentence.
Like, wait a second.
Or don't know that I'm sarcastic.
Right.
You know, anybody from one of those countries did something and they be like, it was a terrorist act, but he acted alone.
Uh-huh.
No, they indicting the whole, everything.
The whole religion.
The whole religion.
The whole culture, the whole countries.
They came out and claimed this dude. They said, yeah, he used to train with us. Mm-hmm. A white supremacist group. He was a militia. He used to train. We rock with him.
So why aren't
but he
they
a lone
called,
wolf?
Fuck out of here. But even if he's a lone wolf, he's a terrorist.
Yeah, exactly.
I haven't heard nobody call him that.
At all.
I mean, I've heard people like you and me that's walking down the street, like, yo, the dude was a terrorist. And I'm like, yeah, you think like me.
Well, they've changed the definition of the word. The word doesn't mean what it's the definition of it. Terrorist is actually an ethnic group now.
That's terrible.
It's a color.
It's terrible.
Terrorist is a color. It's an ethnic
terrible
description.
Terrorism.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Terrorism.
That's like me calling like a white person and just calling them colonizer. You know what I'm saying?
I was in the movies. People start laughing every day. But I'm like, that's not really funny.
It's the truth. What do you mean?
It's not really funny.
That's not even a slur. That's not a slur.
It's not a slur at all.
At all.
Because some patriots and some racists might take that as a stripe.
Yeah, we are
colonized.
Yeah.
You better watch your country.
You better watch
your continent, shall I go over there and take
watch
everything.
Watch your mouth. You better watch
your women's, your children's, and your men. Mm. You know, colonists is not that's not a good thing. That's not a good thing at all. But if you haven't gone to see Black Panther, something wrong with you, and or you might have just been too busy. I get it. It's only been out for what, 1 weekend?
Right.
So
you might have been too busy observing Black History Month. Is that a thing? Do people do that anymore?
It still is.
Is it?
Yeah, but I mean, what are people
maybe
doing?
I don't know.
What are people doing?
I feel like it's not even a thing.
Should it be?
Well, the last 2 years has been very black for us.
Right.
In good and bad.
Yeah.
It's been very black. So if you get to February, it's like the pomp and circumstance ain't what it used to be.
Mm-mm.
It's kind of, I was sitting here thinking, I was looking at the date. I was writing something and I was looking at the date and I was like, February, what?
The month's almost over.
Yeah. I ain't really, other than Black Panther, I ain't really done nothing Black History Month.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
That might be it.
It was kind of wild. I see the memes, you know, social media or whatever, and I see some little history tidbits and factoids, but I feel like we've been so Black for the last couple of years that, like, February is really just kind of blending in now. It's not as... I don't know. Is it just me?
It's not just you. I mean, people are, you know, people are still acknowledging it, you know, and still talking about
programs and all that.
You watch your stuff. You might learn a little something. Yeah. You know,
you used to hear Martin Luther King voice every other his soundbite every other. You know what I mean? On anything or something. Like I haven't heard not much.
Well, I mean, because what I do, I hear everything. I hear a lot, but I know what you're saying. Like if you just, you know, at home watching TV, you might not. Remember that it's Black History Month.
Right.
You know, I'm glad they released Black Panther during Black History Month.
Oh, absolutely.
And they waited to do that,
right? Yeah, of course. Yeah, for a whole full year, I think.
That's crazy. But it was such a smart move, and they reaped the benefits for doing it. Like what? In one weekend, they reaped the benefits.
Yeah. Made their money back.
And they're going to just continue to grow. But as far as Black History Month, I think we as a people, whether you are consider yourself whatever, African-American, whatever, Black, or Caribbean, from Africa, whatever, I think you should always be constantly learning about everything, but you definitely should be constantly learning about your history, knowing that you're not going to get it at school.
Well, true, but the other side to that is, you know, this last 2 years has been a very woke period.
And that word has really, it is.
They really, it's really transcended the culture right now because it used to be conscious and then it was don't sleep. Now it's stay woke. You know what I mean?
I like it. I do, but sometimes I
get over you. I'd be like, shut up. All right,
you woke now. What you gonna do?
Yeah, everybody be like, y'all don't really know that that's how, and blah, blah, blah. Everybody, you know.
Stay woke,
yeah. Everybody know their piece. But.
My oath.
But the thing with that is, it's like, I saw, for example, I work with kids, right? So I'm helping a lot of them with their homework, and a couple of them came in with these projects, right? Mm-hmm. So it's still in the schools.
Mm-hmm.
So they're doing projects, and the schools tell them, here's a list of people you can't do. And on that list, of course, Harriet Tubman and Martin Luther King. Because you've done it forever.
Since you've been in school.
Since you've been in school. We had to do the same. You can't pick these. So my man came in with the little cardboard paper, and he used the Xerox machine and made the photocopies of the pictures. And then he had the little bio, and then he hand wrote some stuff, and then he drew some other stuff. It was pretty decent for a 9-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
But when I tell you it was three people, I was raised in a very radical pro-Black household, went to school, majored in African American history.
Was a Black Panther.
You know, something like that. But when I tell you these three people he had on this page, I had never heard of.
So you learned something. Today.
Yes.
Okay.
I was like, oh, for real? And he told me, like, I forgot the name of the dude. Okay. And this guy, and what he did was, he was the first dean of students at, you know, so. And I was like, oh yeah? I said, oh yeah, I heard him. Who is this? And I didn't know who it was. She was the first student. And I was like, oh yeah, I heard about that. I think they had a movie on Lifetime about her.
You watch a lot of Lifetime, don't you?
And that's where the movies be at.
Oh, okay. Is that you gonna go with?
Yeah, that's where the biopics be at. You know what I'm saying? And then the third person, I was like, yo, these are such obscure. But I was boosted because these are obscure personalities that he now is aware of.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? And can use going forward as a point of reference.
And pull them out.
Yeah. So I was like, oh. And that's the thing with internet and social media, you can dig so far now.
Oh my God! Like if we had this when we was little, I was like, oh my God, I'd be all A's.
I would know everything about everybody.
What? I was like, yo, I'll be talking to kids. I'd be like, yo, you got no excuse. Especially when I'm talking to my own youth, I'm like, yo, what's the problem, bro?
Yeah, right.
You got a phone and a laptop.
You got a phone, yeah, right.
What are you? We used to
and
have
y'all
it.
Can use the phone in school. What are you doing?
No, they can use the computers in school. Yeah. They can even bring their own. And some of these schools give them laptops to use.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like,
how you failing, B? How you failing?
It's like, it's no excuse, bro. Like,
how
I mean,
you failing,
but B? Then there are excuses.
Of course.
As many weapons as they get to give them an advantage, they give them that many, if not more.
To distract them. Yeah.
I got real reverent on it. Yeah, that was great.
To distract them. I was thinking about the blackest thing right now. The blackest thing that could happen, this just popped in my head, is if the National Museum of African American History and Culture, if they had a showing.
A Black Panther.
It
would only be right.
Man, that would be the blackest thing ever.
You know what? I'm mad I didn't even go up there this whole month.
You haven't been?
I've been before.
Oh, but I haven't been this month.
Exactly.
That's what I'm saying.
You would go.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
I didn't even think about that. I didn't think about that museum this whole month. And we live in DC.
Yeah.
We got no excuses.
But if they showed Black Panther and then they had like Barack Obama doing the intro,
right?
Man, that'd be the blackest thing ever.
Oh, that'd be so crazy! Like, or Michelle
with a special appearance by Joe Biden.
Joe Biden.
That would be the blackest thing ever.
Joe Biden ain't gonna have time to run, is he?
Nah. What?
Joe Biden.
Because you think he's too old?
Maybe. How old is Trump?
No, he okay. They all like the same age. Hillary, Trump,
like,
Joe,
Trump's
74.
Like 72, right?
Yeah, Joe like 74.
And Hillary, has she turned 70? I don't think she turned 70.
No, she
yet.
Definitely is.
Is she?
Yeah.
Okay.
She definitely is. Okay. Now, he could do it if only for 4 years, just to get him up, get that man up out of there.
Right. I think Joe Bernie old, too.
Yeah, Bernie's up there, too.
So, you know what? Somebody said, I don't know if I said this last time we got together, but we got to get the youth involved in politics, even on executive level. Like, Barack was somewhat youthful, you know what I mean? But, like, we got a 70-something-year-old president who has no clue.
But because that's the old guard, man. The old guard thinks that that's the way things should be. So that's the people I'm talking about.
They're more controllable.
Yeah, but they're used to that. And those are the same people I'm talking about. Like, they're used to that. They think that's normal.
Mm-hmm.
And so the youth right now, a lot of them are involved. But here's the thing: was hurting the younger generation. Their little hiccups, hiccups and fuck ups from when they were young.
The Me Too's.
No, not even that.
Trump, Clinton.
Yeah, they got them. I'm talking about like you got the young ones that have done some things and like some old tweets and old Facebook posts. And as soon as you put yourself out there and they start digging that stuff up, you crumble. They're not even really built for that. You know what I'm saying? And then they're not able to overcome those hurdles. So you see a lot of people that would be in great position to do it. 38, 44, next 7 or 8 years. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But I think our generation and one right behind us gets tripped up by some of the mistakes we made. So now follow me.
Yeah, because I'm all the guys, past seven guys, got all kind of mistakes.
But they did, but it wasn't no cameras around.
Yeah, okay, I got you.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, it's for that age group.
Right. No social media.
Yeah, it's just somebody coming out and saying, oh, man, he was a foul dude back then. Right, you ain't got no proof. Yeah. But with the youngest, you be like, oh, he's a foul dude. Let me scroll back to, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, I took a called?
I took a screenshot.
Yeah.
Don't do that again. Don't say what's it called. It's a screenshot. You're not that old. Don't do that again.
I'm not even that old. I'm just so out of the social media world.
But yeah, man, it's just, I don't know. I think there's a that age group. I think the youngsters are very, very involved. Very involved. I think they're very involved. I think we're going to see a lot of them move to the forefront very soon.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very soon, the next few, a lot of people that have headed these young organizations and these young movements.
I mean, we look as far as when I say we meaning the youth, have a couple of people that are seeming to be interested in it. We have the senator in Cali. What's her name? She's
Kamala.
Kamala HU. You know. Mm-hmm. And then you got your boy that was governor in Jersey, Cory Booker.
He was the governor? No, he wasn't governor. He was state senator in Jersey.
No, he was the governor first. I mean, not the governor. He was the mayor. Mayor Newark.
Mayor Newark, yeah.
Mayor Newark.
Yeah, the other governor, he tried.
Yeah.
He tried.
Doug Christie.
He needed to try to stop eating. He needed to try to stop eating. Chris Christie. He needs to slow down.
Yeah.
But Cory Booker is interested. I don't know if America's not ready for Cory Booker. I don't even think.
What do you mean not ready? What does that even mean?
They're not ready for another black man.
Now or why wouldn't they be?
Just not now. They're not now. They was not even ready.
I just don't think he's connected. He's not bloodline.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know.
That's true, but that's a whole nother. Yeah, that's a whole nother show.
Yeah.
That's a whole nother show because people don't even know that your boy is. You know, there we go. So moving right along, on the next show, we get into that.
Yeah.
You know how we do. Street Senders Radio.
Street Senders. Lorenzo Lamont, that's what you've been listening to. We're available on all platforms, Google, iTunes. You see me online, Mr. Lamont King. That's my Instagram, website.
Still got CDs, too. Catch me on the street. I got the
CDs.
Tape.
Yeah, I got the CDs. I got Black Panther on bootleg. I don't care.
No, don't do that.
Hey, I don't care. They've made their money. They're not losing if I'm moving units. You know what I'm saying? I got the Black Panther starring Michael Jai White. It was the original cut. The director's cut. Y'all ain't even know he was supposed to be the first one. You know what I'm saying? So Taye Diggs is in there, Morris Chestnut. They all
Taye
in
Diggs it. In there, dressed like a girl.
In the first, I don't know about that.
Did you see it? You
ain't
seen it?
Oh, nah.
That's a whole other. That's
oh, my God.
Next show. Next
what
show.
I miss?
Next show. Next show.
All right, man. We'll catch y'all.
Street Sentence.
Wakanda forever.
Wakanda!